This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. When the Obama administration announced new rules for carbon emissions for all states, the director of energy and environmental policy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce said that the state would be facing more expensive energy and limited economic competitiveness. But in a guest column for the Kalamazoo Gazette, Forum One digital strategist Michael Rader says the new rules are good news for Michigan's environment and economy. Rader also consults for climate and energy organizations. He's a Western Michigan University graduate and, as many of our listeners will probably know if they recognize that name, a one-time reporter for WMUK. Michael Rader, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be here, Gordon.
Let's begin with the question of climate change itself. What will the Obama administration's new plan do to actually address climate change?
Well, basically what the plan does is it sets a number of goals for states to reduce overall carbon emissions, either on sort of a rate base or an overall emissions basis. So it basically reduces the amount of carbon that's going in the atmosphere, which will theoretically reduce the impacts of global warming. I think the other thing that it also does that folks haven't talked as much about is the political sort of implications of it. Really, I think what this is largely designed to do is not only obviously reduce carbon emissions in the United States, but give the Obama administration leverage to negotiate an international climate agreement, the main meeting for which is coming up this December.
How does it give the Obama administration more leverage for an agreement with other countries?
Well, basically, it allows them to say, look, you know, we're doing our part to reduce emissions, and now it's time for the rest of the world to step up as well.
And that has been a frequent complaint from people about new regulations in the United States, is that a lot of the carbon emissions come from other countries. Is this sort of a way, as you see it, of getting that ball rolling where, yes, we address it in the United States, but also try to get other countries to see that we're serious, so they should be serious as well?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, ultimately, you know, we can only do so much. Although the U.S. is a major emitter of carbon dioxide pollution, you know, if we can't get other countries in line to, you know, contribute to it, then ultimately we're only going to be able to make so much of a difference.
You say that there is not a trade-off between a strong economy and a clean environment. Explain why that's the case.
Well, it's been shown over and over again that, you know, utilities and fossil fuel interests, when confronted with regulation, will make doom and gloom predictions about, you know, oh, it's going to cost jobs and it's going to cost so much money. But then every time throughout history, it's proven not to be the case. And ultimately, a lot of these coal plants and fossil fuel plants have been around for, you know, 50, 60, 70 years at this point. We're going to have to replace them at some point. And we can either choose to replace them with something that is burning clean fuel or something that's burning dirty fuel again. So we're going to have to make the investments either way. And really, this is an opportunity to, you know, make investments that, you know, protect health, protect the environment, and protect, you know, jobs.
Is there any sort of a cost in making that transition from fossil fuels to some sort of a cleaner form of energy, even if the long-term payoff is something that is worth attaining?
Yeah, so there's always going to be a cost associated with changing technologies and developing new ones. But what you've seen consistently, I think, from this administration is an investment both on the research side, on the technology side, to, you know, reduce the costs of the alternatives. You look at something like solar power, you know, which I'm very familiar with. You know, the cost of solar power has reduced something like 80% in just the last 6 or 7 years. So, you know, those investments that we made at the beginning of this administration have really started to pay off in terms of, you know, reducing the costs of some of the technological alternatives to fossil fuels.
I noted at the beginning a comment by Jason Geer, who's the Director of Energy and Environmental Policy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, about the new rules, saying it would lead to higher energy costs. He says that one of the things that Michigan is facing is that it's an energy-intensive manufacturing state. Is there something to the argument that perhaps Michigan would be facing a tougher situation than other states because we are still very reliant on manufacturing, which does require a lot of energy?
Well, I think there's two answers to that question. One, the specifics in the Clean Power Plan, the targets are tailored to state-specific situations. So states, and it's really based on the intensity of the emissions, you know, sort of per megawatt hour. So the overall goal is set to, you know, be something that's attainable for each state. So Michigan's actually, the benchmarks for Michigan are somewhere in the middle. You know, really very, very clean burning states have extremely low goals. States that are very energy intensive with fossil fuels have very high goals. Michigan's somewhere in the middle.
And so therefore, Michigan's goals were set in a way to acknowledge the realities of the current state economy.
Correct.
Is it fair to say that there are enough alternatives in terms of renewable energy right now, that the demand can be met for what we are currently consuming in terms of fossil fuels?
Yeah, definitely. There's basically two ways, to meet sort of these goals. You can invest in renewables, and you can also invest in efficiency. You know, Michigan has a number of programs that have been going on for quite a long time to, you know, increase the amount of renewables and increase, you know, energy efficiency. There's actually over 49 programs in the state currently that incentivize either efficiency investments or renewable investments in some way. And most of those programs have been going on for quite a long time, which is why, as I pointed out in my op-ed, that Michigan's already 50% of the way towards meeting, you know, its first interim goals under the Clean Power Plan because of those investments that we've already made.
Is Michigan ahead of other states when it comes to those sort of investments? I mean, how would you compare Michigan to what other states are doing in that regard?
It's ahead of some and not as far along as others. It's again, somewhere in the middle, which I think reflects, you know, where the goals were set under the Clean Power Plan. There are some states that, you know, have very, very low emissions, that have, you know, very, very stringent renewable energy targets and energy efficiency programs. There are some states that, you know, have heavy, heavy fossil fuel use that really aren't really doing much. And Michigan's somewhere in the middle.
You wrote your op-ed for the Kalamazoo Gazette in part to respond to a gentleman named Christopher Douglas, who's an associate professor with the economics department at the University of Michigan Flint, also chairman of that department and member of the board of scholars at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. He said that the Clean Power Plan would impose steep costs on Michigan residents while generating negligible environmental benefits. Give us a synopsis of your response to that argument.
Well, basically, again, you know, we're already 50% towards our goal to, you know, meet that emissions reduction. So if we were going to see huge spikes in power costs based on that, we probably would have seen them already. And also, his arguments largely were reliant on a study that has been largely debunked. Again, I linked in my op-ed, there's a Washington Post article where James Inhofe and a number of other members of Congress have been citing the same study. And the fact-checkers at the Washington Post basically did an analysis of it and found that they significantly undervalued the energy efficiency programs and basically inflated the cost of those programs to the point where it seriously distorted the study. There were a number of other issues with it as well, but that was the most glaring.
So as you've noted a couple times, Michigan is on the path already to at least meet a good chunk of these standards, as you said, probably half of it. There's a quote here in the Gongwer News Service from Becky Stanfield with the National Resources Defense Council's Midwest program saying that Michigan can crush its clean energy target under the Clean Power Plan by continuing its current path toward clean, efficient electricity resources. If Michigan can crush the standard which has been set, is that an indication that maybe this didn't go far enough, that maybe Michigan and other states, or at least in this particular case, Michigan, should have been put under a more stringent standard to limit carbon emissions?
You know, it's a reasonable point. You know, I think this plan was designed largely to do what is going to be enough to start to make a real difference and start to bend the curve on carbon emissions. But it's also reflective of the political realities. You know, the fact that we have to do this through Clean Air Act regulation instead of a separate system that was, you know, put in by Congress just reflects the political divisiveness of this issue, unfortunately. So I think under a different scenario, maybe we could have been more aggressive and probably still realize even more benefits, I think, from this. But, you know, I think, again, the plan, you know, reflects a reasonable step forward on this front and reflects the political realities of the situation now.
Well, as someone who has dabbled a little bit in politics as well as in energy policy, what are the current political winds out there when it comes to trying to do something about energy policy, when it comes to trying to do something to address climate change? What is the backdrop? What's the landscape out there?
Nationally, it's a little depressing. I mean, there's basically, unfortunately, you know, one political party, the Republicans, have decided that this isn't an issue that we need to worry about. They consistently dispute the science behind climate change and consistently basically argue that, you know, we don't need to do anything and this is just, you know, basically a waste of time. Unfortunately, that's happening at the same time when the science is continually getting, frankly, more troubling. When you look out, every time a new scientific study comes out, it basically says, okay, this is happening faster and the effects are going to be worse. And, you know, we need to do something about it immediately. And at this point, you know, a lot of the climate scientists seem to be getting a little fatigued just in terms of they've been saying this stuff for, in some cases, decades now. And we still haven't seemed to manage to, you know, muster the political will to actually do anything about it.
What are some things we might look for, Michael, that would tell us that this is having some sort of a positive effect on, as you say, the political debate over this? What are some things that might indicate that this change is moving the needle at all in terms of convincing people that, yes, something should be done about addressing climate change and that it is not going to strangle the economy in some way?
It's hard to say. You know, I think there's, you know, it would be nice to hear some rhetoric, particularly from some of the presidential candidates that, you know, at least acknowledge that this is something that we need to, you know, think about and something that we need to do something about. In terms of, you know, looking at the economy, I mean, I think, you know, again, I think the numbers speak for themselves. You know, I think we've seen continually improving economic conditions in Michigan, while at the same time, we are reducing our emissions and we are making investments in renewable energy. And I think, again, as long as that trend continues, I think we're in pretty good shape. As you pointed out earlier, we could certainly be doing more, but this is a good start.
Is it possible to try and push this too fast, to do this in a way that would have some of the negative effects that people worry about, that we could push in such a way that we're not ready to meet energy demands, that it does try to move things in such a way that the economic impacts become negative in some way? I mean, is that possible to move too fast on an issue like this?
I think it's theoretically possible, but again, this plan was designed under the political realities that we live in now, and I think that given the collaborative nature of the development of the regulations, I mean, EPA, you know, took into account some 4 million comments, I think, in developing the Clean Power Plan. So it's not like people didn't have, you know, economic interests that oppose this kind of thing or are, you know, have a right to be, take a conservative perspective on it, didn't have a chance to weigh in. I think the greater risk based on the political situation is not moving fast enough, far, far more than, you know, moving too quickly.
You expect that this is probably going to end up being the subject of a legal challenge?
Yeah, I mean, the rules have already been challenged in court, you know, numerous times. And, you know, I mean, I absolutely expect it will be, you know, continuing to, you know, battle this out in the courts to some extent. But I think the reality is that, you know, the Supreme Court ultimately weighed in on this in the Mass v. EPA decision, which came out in 2007, I believe, where they said, look, you know, the Clean Air Act does apply to carbon dioxide emissions, and the EPA has, you know, not only the right, but the obligation to, you know, install some sort of regulatory regime to manage carbon emissions. That decision, unless it gets overturned, is going to be, frankly, the controlling legal decision in this whole discussion.
Michael Rader, thank you very much for your time.
Sure. Thanks, Gordon.
Michael Rader's op-ed column for the Kalamazoo Gazette is called Obama's Clean Power Plan Will Defend Health, Jobs, and Climate. You can find a link at WMUK.org. Michael Rader is digital strategist for Forum One and consults for climate and energy organizations. He's a Western Michigan University graduate and a former reporter for WMUK. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.